Die Chancen stehen wieder gut, Millionär zu werden. Jetzt Countdown zum Glück bei den Bayern-Millionen.
Da gibt's zweimal 1 Million Euro mit der Chance 1 zu 250.000 und viele weitere Gewinne. Die Bayern-Millionen in jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Nur solange der Vorrat reicht.
Lotto Bayern, nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18, Chance auf 1 Million Euro, 1 zu 250.000. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen, Hilfe unter bijuk.de.
Lotto Bayern wünscht viel Spaß beim folgenden Podcast.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört, der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Really exciting. Hi. Really exciting.
Oh, I love the enthusiasm you came in with. It made me giggle. It feels so opposite to how I'm feeling in my heart and body at the moment. So I'm so glad you're coming in with the enthusiasm.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the lifting so that you can feel how you need to feel. I'm trying to really give us a driving force. What's up, everyone? Yeah. My name is Ian Allred. I am... Why does my microphone keep turning up? Diva, stop it! Oh my gosh, is there a way to stop it from doing this?
I don't know.
Stop it from like auto... Trying to find it. Talk amongst yourselves, please. No, I have to stop recording. Okay, so we are actually going to take a brief break and we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you all had a really great break. I figured out what was going on with my microphone. The answer is Skype. Skype was automatically adjusting my...
Tricky bastard.
It's literally still happening.
Well,
Skype?
Is it still on your microphone on Skype? I don't feel like I've heard your...
Yeah, it is. So I'm going to disconnect it and we're going to see what happens. Wow. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages again. Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed that second break. We just really believe in giving our listeners the freedom to, you know, get a glass of water, stretch, use the bathroom, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to do. Don't worry, we're here for you. I think I have fixed it. Unfortunately, what this means is that I sound worse on Patreon. Skype, here's a fun fact about me. Hi, my name is Ian Allred, and me and Skype have been at it these last few days, and I'm a gleek.
Oh, it's been bad.
For whatever reason.
I feel like I'm stuck in the middle of like a marital brawl.
Yeah, like seriously, we're going through, we might have to break up. It's been really bad. For whatever reason, Chrome just stopped accepting Skype. And this isn't just for me. I don't know if it's for everyone who uses Chrome, but it is an ongoing problem because I was looking into it. It just like banned Skype. I can't open Skype on my Chrome anymore. So I'm having to go through different pathways to access Skype again. And these different pathways, and by different pathways, I literally just mean using the app Skype. I don't know why I was acting like I was going to like the dark web.
And then, like a thing that I've been doing since.
But how is
we
it not
using Skype?
How is it not altering your mic levels? Does it alter your mic levels?
It does not. It doesn't.
I don't know, babe. But anyways,
I'm Lainey Knatzer, and I have no mic problems or Skype problems. Or any personal real problems. I'm doing so well right now. It's so awesome. I'm feeling good, feeling fresh, feeling sexy, feeling fly. And I'm a gleek.
That's so fun. I appreciate it. Wow. Definitely. I'm so happy that you're doing well. I really appreciate that sincerity on the podcast. It means a lot to me.
Yeah, you know me. Open and sincere heart.
Heck yeah. We do have an announcement that I realize I don't think we ever said outside of our Patreon, which is... Our glee winding up. We only have two left. So for all you gleeks out there, we have next week, we are talking about our favorite episodes. Hello! We're talking about our favorite episodes. Yeah. My picks were The Pilot and Duets. Lena's picks were Laryngitis and The Hurt Locker Part 2. And then 2 weeks after that, we will be doing our last episode on Glee for the time. For yeah. Is that how you say that? For now is what
for
I should say.
Being. Yeah, yeah.
For the time yeah. being. Boom. That being said, like I say it that way because we don't know what the future holds. We could do like a rogue episode on Glee in the future. Yeah. Who knows? But we will no longer be consistently talking about Glee every week. We don't know what that theme is going to be yet. Patreon is currently deciding. Join our Patreon if you want to have your voice be heard.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not going to like give a big farewell to Glee right now, right here, because we still have
no,
two more.
No, not at all.
But I just wanted us all to be on the same of page course. About that.
Yeah. It's a, I think, a sad thing, but also an exciting thing. And
yeah, I think it's,
we are changing and it's good. It's a good thing for us to keep growing. And
I do think it's time.
God knows. Well, yeah, I agree. And God knows we've been talking about the end of Glee for literal years.
Yeah.
We get really into it in our upcoming episode. So you'll hear us talk about it, but it's fun and new, and God knows we'll never be able to say goodbye to Glee because we never have in the past 20 years. God knows that's not going to be the case. So it's our podcast, so we can talk about Glee if we want to in the future. But for now, I do think it's a good thing for us to try our hand at something new and get excited about something new and, you know, have something new to talk about.
Booyah.
So I'm excited, but also very deeply, deeply sad. But not in like a bad way.
Lena Knatzer,
it's all there.
Is feeling the whole range of human emotion today.
Oh.
In the Skype chat.
No, seriously.
She's all over the board.
Yeah.
And because of that,
seriously.
We thought it would be fun if we were to add even more human emotion on top of it. That human emotion being love.
What if we fall in love?
What if we fall in love? So for today's Hangout episode, you know, I've been trying to date more this month. And can I tell you, it's the worst decision I've ever made. Dating is so stressful and hard. I know no one ever talks about that. Because of that.
I think across the board, every single person is like, wow, dating is so fun.
They go, it's fun and it's easy. Two things about dating are it's fun and it's easy and it's uncomplicated.
Yeah.
And for some reason, for me, it hasn't been that experience. So Lena and I have decided that we're done. We're going to end up with each other. But unfortunately, we don't love each other that way. So we're going to do our best. We are doing
36
questions to fall in love.
Welcome to becoming each other's beards. Let's party.
We literally haven't read the questions. So we might be skipping some. I give us a pass to skip whatever ones we want to skip. We're very much doing this on a whim.
To be honest, when these questions came out, I think BuzzFeed, we're talking about like, what is it? 50 questions to fall in love.
36 questions to fall in love.
Yeah. Like what? It's a New York Times article. I don't know. Like some scientists got together and they like picked like the most emotionally vulnerable questions you can. But the New York Times put it out. And I think I was like in high school when these questions came out, and it lit my fucking heart aflame. So every single partner I've ever had, I've like tried to do this with. Some of them, it is like more fun to do with than others. It's just like a fun group of questions and also a good way to get to know people. I've also done it with a ton of friends. And all of them are in love with me. I'm leaving a bunch of broken hearts in my wake.
Always.
Hope you're excited for that.
Always. So for the purposes of like, this is a podcast that, can't go on for 10 hours.
Yeah. Let's just do the fun ones.
Yeah. We can skip some. Also, like, I don't know how in depth my answers are going to get. The reality is if I was doing this with a romantic partner and they asked me one of these questions, I would like ponder on it for like 5 minutes to be like, what is my actual answer to this? I'm not going to make our listeners sit in silence for 5 minutes.
No.
So it's going to be kind of whatever comes to me, comes to me.
It's also like, let's have some fun.
Yeah. And also, have y'all ever heard of having fun? Have you ever heard of having a good time?
I'm actually begging you guys to start having some fucking fun.
For once in your life, enjoy yourself, okay? We're having 36 questions to fall in fun with each other. To have a good effing time. Lena, I have a question for you.
Yes, Ian.
If you could invite anyone in the world to dinner, who would it be?
Oh, And now, like, what's the dinner for? Are we just going to have fun? Are we going to kiki? Are we going to, am I going to yell at them?
And I
ask questions.
And I went through this whole breadth of emotion just now too, because there was someone that came to mind as I was like, oh, we would have the dinner so I could confront them and force them to actually talk to me.
Yeah.
And then someone else, I was like, I really miss them and I'd love to see them. And then someone else, I was like, they are a successful person I look up to and I'd like to pick their brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Nicole Kidman.
Oh, booyah, Miss AMC herself.
I think it would just be a fun dinner. I think she's awesome.
Heck yeah.
And I look up to her.
Heck yeah.
I don't know.
I guess, like, hear me out. There are a lot of people that I love dearly. That I would want to go to dinner with. But also, I could just call them on FaceTime and it wouldn't be the same, but I could, like, talk to them. So I am going to do like you did. And it's someone that, like, I can't call Nicole Kidman on FaceTime. Like, the only way I'm going to be able to speak to this person is if they have to go to dinner with me. And this is... I can't help myself, you guys. I apologize. It's Tina Fey. I just think she's so funny. I really respect her career trajectory. Like, she just, not to be corny on main, but like, I really admire how she became successful.
Yeah.
And I think she's funny. And she'd make me laugh. And she is a person that if she didn't like me,
it's over.
It's literally, I have to reinvent myself. I have to move to cities and change my name and start a new life.
I'm also thinking maybe one of my favorite authors, like Emily Henry.
Booyah.
Or Rainbow Rowell.
Yeah.
Also, in my mind, I was like, should I bring a political figure to dinner and yell at them right now?
Hey. No. Hey.
I don't care.
We're having fun.
Because I hate the motherfucker, that's why.
And she said that. Patti LuPone. She's such an icon for that. Okay. Question number two, would you like to be famous in what way? And I think I know your answer to this.
What's my answer?
Your answer is that you don't want to be famous.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
I am interested in like a niche. Like I like Broadway famous people. Mm. I think those people are like, you know, like Marianne Morrissey, I'm sure she can like go to Trader Joe's and it's going to be okay. But if I saw Marianne Morrissey on the street, I'd be like, I love you, bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think I could be like famous in a one setting. I don't think I hate the idea of fame though. I think it is very stressful to me and I couldn't do it. I definitely wouldn't want to. Like I think I like connecting with a group of people. I like connecting with at least in the podcast, I like connecting with an audience like this, but it feels way different.
Yeah.
Than like at least what I imagine like Kardashian fame. Like that's a bye. No. Yeah. And I think you'd say yes.
And you're correct.
Yeah. You said, I want to be famous.
I want to be famous. Unfortunately, not to get into it, such a deep-seated hatred of myself that I need other people to like me in order for me to feel like I'm worth anything. And so, unfortunately, and it is for very toxic reasons, I would want to be famous. Because I'd be like, how can I be worthless when all these people think I'm worth something? Which famously doesn't work. And famously, famous people are very depressed. But you know, my brain knows that, my heart doesn't.
And I also think that's natural. And I'm glad you said it because I do think a lot of people do feel this way. And I think in moments I have felt that way where it's like, see, if I was famous, maybe I would be loved in this way that I'm not being loved in right now, where it's like, probably not. Like I would be the exact same person. That's not how fame works. So exactly. I do understand where you're coming from.
Wherever
and I
you
respect
go, you, are.
You for saying the fucking truth. And I love it.
Yeah. I mean, even me wanting to be famous, I would never want to be like Angelina Jolie. Like, I don't want to like news articles to be writing about when I fart. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I would want to be. I'd want to be like a Darcy Carden.
Yeah.
So like you know, like two, three steps above Broadway fame.
I'm obsessed with her. Yes.
Where I'm on,
TV
frankly.
Fame.
this is tragic. This is just like a telling of my view of myself as a person. I genuinely am pursuing performance because I enjoy it and I'm passionate about it. And it, like,
yes,
you know, like, fills my soul. But there is a part of me that thinks I have to either get in a Broadway show or be on television or be on a movie at some point in my life so that I have something to point to prove that I accomplished something and I'm worth something.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to be able to be like, oh yeah, I'm in this TV show. You can look it up. You can see me. I have proof that, like, I existed and I did something in this world. So I would want to, like, that's the level of fame I would want to be, is,
yes,
I'm in, like, a good, it doesn't have to be the biggest show on television. Honestly, I'd prefer it wasn't the biggest show on television, but I'm in, like, a niche TV show that is high quality, that a group of people is very passionate about. And yeah, then I can just, I'm like, you know, I go on, like, Late Night with Seth Meyers once every 2 years, and then people, yeah, comment on the YouTube videos and are like, I always love when Ian's on Late Night with Seth Meyers. Yeah. It's always a good time.
I get that. I especially understand when you say you want something to point to. I like the idea of fame and with that coming respect. Mm-hmm. Like, no one questions, like, a person like Darcy Carden about, like, I mean, I don't know her life, but like what's, like, what her biggest accomplishments are, you know, like, exactly, there's a hallmark there that they respect and know. And especially in, like, the arts field, it's kind of like, if you're not on Broadway, if you're not on TV, you've kind of, like, you're not doing anything, which is crazy. There's so much to accomplish between that and, like, graduating college, heaven knows. Like, there's so much there to point to. But, like, my parents, the average Joe Schmo, they're like, oh, well, you're not successful because you're not on Broadway.
Well, and goodness knows, we have worked with people, mm-hmm, who were on Broadway once, like, 20 years ago, which is, yeah, awesome. But I'm saying this because I have noticed how it affects how every, like, the, like you were saying, the respect, yes, everyone gives that person.
The respect. I know.
And I'm not saying they're not talented, but we were working with plenty of people who were just as talented who were not given that respect because they did not have, yes, a Broadway credit on their resume.
100%.
Like, 100%. I just want something tangible that I can say, like, no, I am a serious performer. I've done this thing. And then people, yes, will see it and be like, okay, I take you seriously now.
I hear you. And I would agree as well. I would agree as well in a certain way.
Yeah.
Well, are you feeling in love?
I feel a little warmth happening. I feel a little warmth happening.
A stirring. Maybe.
We'll see. Question number three. A stirring always makes me think of The Giver where they're talking about wet dreams.
Oh my God. Can you believe?
A stirring.
Gross.
Know what I'm obsessed with?
Wet dreams. Phrase,
the wet dreams. No, but the phrase nocturnal emissions. That's such,
I love that.
That's such a psychotic
thing. If we start a band, can that be the name?
Say. Nocturnal emissions. Ew. It's like the most sexless clinical way to describe it. It makes my skin crawl, which, I mean, is the point. It's like a medical term, yeah, but it's not so crazy.
Nocturnal emissions.
You know, I had a nocturnal emission last night.
That's so funny. Oh my God. You know,
gross.
Oh my God.
All right. I have a third question to get you to fall in love with me.
Okay.
Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say? Why? That's actually two questions. This should be 37 yeah, questions to fall in love.
What the fuck? I do. I do a little. I would say what I mostly do is after the conversation.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Run through everything 300 times and then be, mm-hmm, in the shower and go stupid, stupid, stupid. Like, yeah, you know, like, rethink everything I've said. I do, especially when I'm calling, like, the doctor, or I'm calling, like, my boss, or calling, you know, anyone of that kind of nature where it's like kind of a high stakes phone call, not high stakes, but, you know, like, even ordering a pizza. I feel like sometimes, yeah, I'm like, okay. And then I want a cheese with of this crust and okay. And then I'm like, oh, and then if da, 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 and this is what I want to talk to the doctor about. You know what I mean? Like I have to like kind of say the words out loud so I know what I'm going to say. But I don't think that I do that to like an extent where if I don't do it, it's like I can't have a phone call. The thing that I am doing is retroactively saying all of the words I said again to make sure I didn't put my fucking foot in my mouth. And if I did put my foot in my mouth, somehow punish myself by saying it 300 more times. So that's what I'm doing. What about you?
I used to rehearse like any phone call, Nowadays, do I rehearse? I have to like, if I'm making a phone, like a doctor's appointment, if I'm like calling my bank, one of those, I'm not one of those people who can do it on the fly, can be like, oh, I'm in between these places. I have 5 free minutes. I'm going to do it right now. I'm planning that like I'm making that phone call at this time. Like, for example, I had to cancel my internet subscription and they called me when I was walking out of a movie. And I sincerely was like, I can't have this conversation right now.
Yes.
I have to get home and be like seated in my room to have this conversation. But I didn't necessarily rehearse the words I was going to say, but I had to be in like a controlled, seated environment where I emotionally and mentally knew I will be having this conversation about canceling my internet.
Oh my God. I 100% get that. Yeah. I have to like put away a whole afternoon to like make a crazy conversation, like phone call like that. I have to like cancel a subscription this month and it's on my planner to do on a very certain day when I get off work. I'm like, it has to be this day.
Yeah.
And I like gear up for it all week. So I totally get that.
Yeah. Damn. Question four. What would constitute a perfect day for you?
A perfect day. It's a day off. I'm not going to work.
What?
Yeah. Jesus. I do not dream of labor. It's the day off. I wake up early. If it's a perfect day in my life right now, everything that I have currently, like I don't have like a partner or a fancy car, or, you know, like nothing is like, or like a different job or I'm not living somewhere crazy. I'm just living in my house today. I wake up early. I make a coffee at my house and it's good. Oh my God. And I immediately have, in TMI, I'm sorry, we're on a date and I'm trying to make you fall in love. I go to the restroom and it's awesome. Then I get in like warm exercise clothes. It's like early spring. And then I go on a drive and it's still early morning. The sun is out, but it's still orange. And I go watch birds and I go on a like a nice like hour or two walk and I watch birds and I listen to maybe an audiobook and then I go home, take a shower and I relax for a couple of hours and then I go out to dinner with friends and then maybe we go dancing and then I come to bed and I'm in bed by at least 1.
Heck yeah.
And I think that's my perfect day here.
Perfect day.
Oh, and at dinner I'm having, a really dirty martini and someone has such crazy gossip to tell me about someone that they and I both know and the dinner is really good and somehow we get a really good discount on it.
Booyah. It's free.
And then during my downtime during the day I finish a really good book.
Heck yeah.
That I've been like working on for like a day or so and it is so awesome and I close it and I'm like, oh, that was so awesome. And I give it 5 stars on my Goodreads account. That's my perfect day.
Heck yeah.
What's your perfect day?
There is time alone. Either I'm like going on a walk, like you said, or like actually set aside time to write in my journal, which heaven knows I don't do as much as I need to. Or I'm just like reading a book. Like time alone, not watching television, because I spend so much of my time alone watching television and that actually does not rejuvenate me at all.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing some sort of adventure activity. I think of days I think really fondly of, and there are days where like me and a few friends like went on a really exciting hike or we like went to a weird water park, or just like something like that. There is like an exciting activity with friends that is not something that I would do ordinarily that we're doing. And that also becomes a story that I will remember fondly and recount to people.
Yeah.
And then maybe I end the day by either we're like having a game night. Oh, I love a game night.
Oh, a game night. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Or we're like watching a movie. Either a movie that we all really love and we are like talking over it and laughing about it, or a movie none of us have ever seen and we're all very invested in it.
Enraptured. Yes.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I think that's mine.
That's amazing. Okay.
And also at some point I like tell a joke and everyone laughs. Or there's some like performance opportunity. Like we go do karaoke and then like I sing a song and everyone's like, that was the best thing I've ever seen.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that.
When did you last sing to yourself? And then when did you last sing to someone else? That's also a twofer. This should be 38 questions to fall in love.
Literally, what the hell?
My gosh. They are cheating.
I'm singing so constantly these days.
I'm literally like probably earlier in this episode. Rewind the tape.
I know, literally. Like even right now in my head, I'm singing Perfect Day.
I literally just...
like even though it's not out loud, I do feel like...
as 1 minute ago.
Yeah, literally. I mean, did you just sing that song?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did. And it's going through my head.
So that's my answer is when I just sang that to you.
And I just sang it back.
All right. Looking at how long we've been talking and how we're only on question six, we either need to skip some of these questions.
Okay. We can skip them.
Or
do you want to go to a juicy one?
Brief or give very brief answers.
Oh, dang. Yeah. I trust your judgment. You've got the list in front of you.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is scary. Just give me a number. Just give me a number. That'll make it easier.
Okay. The number is 17.
Okay. Question 17. What is your most treasured memory?
Okay. This is kind of on the brain just because I was just thinking about it, but it is a treasured memory to me. I've told this story on the podcast before. And I think I like come back to it all the time. And excuse me if I cry, and I'm going to. My sister got married October of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like so nice. Like it was so nice. But I remember me and my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, we like got together and made the wedding playlist, and we put Only Exception on the playlist, which if you know me, you know I'm obsessed with Paramore, and I went to like 3 Paramore concerts with my dad, and we're obsessed. And that song came on, and I was like standing with my mom and my dad, who were not married. They just, you know, but I never got a chance to like hang out with both of them, especially just me very much. And that song was playing and me and my dad got to dance to it at my sister's wedding. And then my mom came over and then she started dancing with us. And then they both were like, will you sing this song to us? Because I used to sing it all the time growing up, like all the time. And my dad and I both started crying. And I was like, and my mom was like, I never get to hear you sing anymore. And we both we're all crying and sobbing and dancing with each other to this song. And my sister comes by and she's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why are you crying? And then she turns on Fly As Me, the Bruno Mars song, the Silk mm-hmm. Sonic song. Like, I deserve to be with somebody as fly as me. If you know that song, it's just a fun song. And then me and my mom and my dad and my sister, in with tears in our eyes, we start dancing to that song. And we just like act crazy and like are dancing and being silly, and like to experience that range of emotion like so quickly. It's just I think about that all the time, and I just know how much my dad loved me and how much my parents cared about me, and you know, how music connected us. And I think about that all the time. So I think that's my most treasured memory right now. I think about it all the time. And I mean, even like talking about like the last time you sang to someone, I'm like, I think about that memory and it makes me smile. And those songs mean so much to me. What is your most treasured memory? Thank you. I appreciate it.
I literally have zero clue. It is as if nothing's ever happened to me.
You've never had a memory. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember anything about my whole life. I don't know. I'm really trying to think. This is why questions like this stress me out, because I feel put on the spot and then my brain is like, we're going to erase all of this. I need like a day to prepare. Oh my gosh. What is just like not even my most, but just a very treasured memory of mine? Let's think for a moment.
Yeah. Most is crazy.
Most is really, it's a lot of pressure. Fine. I'll talk about this. I was not going to talk about this one because I have to leave so much of it blank.
Okay. That's okay.
But just, I'll just give you the bones of what happened, because I'm not trying to like talk about people's lives.
Yeah.
I had a few months ago, someone in my life that like someone in my life just reached out to me and really wanted to make it a point to like see me, which was cool, and I wanted to see them, but I thought it was just like, we're gonna hang out. And so like we did just hang out, but then kind of the purpose of them hanging out with me is they wanted someone to talk to because they were going through very similar experiences to what I went through a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it was just very special to, one, be like, oh, all of this like weird paradigm shifty, figuring out who I am, it all has like led to me being able to be here for this person.
Yeah.
And then it also was just really nice to have the person kind of express to me like that they had noticed what I was going through and that like they respected it, and that, I don't know, it just like added an extra layer to our relationship that wasn't there before. And then it was so freeing to be able to like talk with each other so openly and not like constantly have to be like, well, what are you comfortable with talking about? What are you not comfortable with talking about? We could just like talk openly about anything and not worry about like offending the other person or making the other person uncomfortable. Or it was just, it was a lovely moment. That was like a big thing. One of like the major things with me before coming out that would just like haunt me is I felt like I could never fully connect with another person because I felt like I was always putting on a show. I wonder why I'm a performer and why I want everyone to like love me and think I'm great. But I just like, I felt like I would see people in my life who had such close relationships with their friends. And I felt like I had friends, but I didn't have really any friends that I had a relationship like that with.
Yeah.
I just like, I didn't have people in my life that it was like, I pour my soul out to them, they pour their soul out to me. And so it was nice. It was very, I don't know, it was just a very positive experience to be like, oh, this is exactly what I went out looking for all those years ago. And now I'm like in a situation where we can be having this open discussion with each other.
That's amazing.
Hey,
that's lovely.
Thank you.
Honestly, I'm also very coy of you to keep so much close to the chest. It was kind of making me fall in love with you. That was a beautiful story.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
What's another number?
29.
I'm going to a friend's birthday party tonight and it is titled 29.
I love that. Ooh, this year is my 29th birthday, and it's also my golden birthday. I think I'm going to try and do something crazy.
Heck yeah. Golden birthdays, baby. 29. This is child's play. Share an embarrassing moment in your life. Okay, diva.
Oh.
That's all I ever do.
Hello. I think every day I have an embarrassing moment. Oh my God, I have a good one.
Okay.
Have I told you that I lied about when I started my period?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, I don't know why. And I just told my family about this, like over my sister's birthday. We were the night before, we were all staying in a cabin together. And I was like, what are our family secrets? Like, we're not really like particularly dramatic. Like, there's not really like much going on in my family. We're kind of like pretty even keeled, I would say. But I was like, what are our fucking family secrets? Like, who's got a family secret? And my mom and my sister were like, I don't think we have any. And I was like, I have a secret. And I told them that I think I was in like fourth or fifth grade, young. I woke up one morning and I knew. I said, I'm telling everyone I started my period today. And I did not. I did not. Something overcame me.
Oh, I love that.
I think I was just obsessed with respect and being like perceived as older and more mature than I was. I was obsessed with womanhood. Like, you know, I just thought it would be like people would take me more seriously. I knew my good friend had started her period, like, I think around then. So I think I was like, I have to be in this club with her. I have to be in this club with her. So 4 years, literal years, until I actually started menstruating, I pretended like I was.
For years?
So for years.
And you kept up the game?
Oh, I kept up the game. That's incredible. Periodically would wear pads in. I didn't need to. I did not need to until I officially started menstruating in, I think I was like in seventh or eighth grade, like years later. Diva. Like, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. That's
and
so-
also, I said that to my mom and she was like really surprised. In my mind, like before I had told her, I was like, because I had just told her like 2 years, like, you know, like last October. In my mind, I was like, she probably knew. She probably knew. My mom had no idea. Isn't that crazy?
Also, like...
And so I'm embarrassed about that.
Also, like, I feel like 7th and 8th grade is a very normal time to start your period. So
100%.
It wasn't even like you were such a late bloomer and you were embarrassed. You were just trying to get ahead of the game.
I know. And I mean, I don't know what... Like, my mom, my sister, like, every, like... You know, menstruator in my family started around then. So I was the oddball out. I just wanted to get ahead of the game. I wanted to be, and also like going to the bathroom is such a, like a private experience. I'd say for the most part, you are not going to know if someone is on their period day to day at all.
Yeah.
It was just like a thing I had with myself. And then like at sleepovers, I would like have a bag full of pads. So like people would ask me questions about it. Like that's it. That's it. But I did it. I don't know why. I have no idea why. Isn't that so embarrassing?
No, that's amazing. I really love that. I really love that.
It keeps me up at night. And I just told my family. I kept it up for years.
Hear me out. Kind of like, because I want to ask a million follow-up questions.
Oh, I have the answers.
We gotta, we only did like 7 questions. Like, is this what the podcast should be? Is we do 36 episodes and every episode is just one of these questions and we really get into it?
You got it.
We
fun.
Really dissect each other. No, people will know too much about us.
No. And also, I think people care about us. I don't think people care that much.
Well, they will when they fall in love with us. They're going to fall in love with us. That's the point.
Yeah. And that's actually the thing is we're not trying to make each other fall in love. We're trying to make you fall in love with us.
Hey, so when you started your period, actually,
yes.
Did you have a crisis where you were like, oh, I now like have questions or I have this thing I want to talk about, but I can't because I've been living a lie?
So what I did is I did have a crisis because also periods, and this is, I don't think it's TMI. When you get your first period, it's not like blood. It is blood, but it doesn't like look like what you expect blood to look like. Your first period is more like viscous and brown. Like,
okay.
So I was well confused. I was really confused. But then, so what I told my mom is I went to her and I said, I'm ready to learn how to use tampons. And then
diva.
She explained to me how to use tampons. So that is kind of how I navigated that change. But I didn't tell her that it was like a fish. Isn't that so crazy? But I like, and so I felt really confused about that. I was like, but I can't like ask my mom about this. But I was asking her questions about a specific aspect of it. So it wasn't too bad. But yes, I did have a crisis.
Booyah. Incredible.
Isn't
incredible.
That crazy. And so it. Embarrassing.
I love it. I tell my embarrassing stories all the time. So I'm going to do a new one because this is like my most recent one. Because like the all timers have already been told. I had a callback for Waitress 2 weeks ago and it was the first audition I had in the new year. I haven't had an audition in so long. So I was like, oh, thank goodness, finally an audition. I'm going to get in the room and I'm going to book the show. And I was doing this whole like, I was really manifesting that it was going to work out and I was going to book this show and it was going to be so great. And then the night before I had asked someone out on a date and he had like, I think I might've talked to you about this, gave me like the most weird runaround answer that I was like, I would have literally rather you had just said no than do this weird, like you say yes, but then won't tell me. When you're available, yeah, it like made me feel crazy and stupid and embarrassed. Yeah.
Yes.
So I had the call back the next day and I'm feeling stupid and embarrassed, but I was like, I can't go into this callback feeling like this. I have to like be confident. So I'm listening to the most cliche, like I'm a boss bitch, no one can touch me songs, like the most my farts don't stink, I'm amazing music to try and get myself into a more positive headspace. We go in, we do the dance call. I famously hate dance calls. They give me anxiety attacks. Thankfully, they had sent us the material beforehand, so I had practiced. And the dance call went pretty well. I made it through the dance call. I did not get cut. I was like, the hard part is over. I've done the dance call. Now all that's left is the song. I could sing the song in my sleep. I literally had been practicing the song every day for a week. I'd sung it like 30 times. We're fine. I go in to sing the song. He starts playing the opening chords and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Could you give me my pitch? Just for like whatever reason, I couldn't figure out what my pitch was. And he gives me my pitch. He starts again. I start singing through the first line and then I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on. Could you just like play the first line for me? He plays it again. When I have been practicing this song, I have been practicing it with like a karaoke track on YouTube.
Yeah.
I did not realize, because usually this isn't the case. I don't know if it was just my nerves in the room or what, but the piano accompaniment sounded so different to me than like a full band karaoke track that I just could not find the melody. I made them and I was like, literally was like, I made it through the dance call, hard part's over. I could sing the song in my sleep. I made him start over four separate times. Finally, the music director had to stand up from behind the piano and come up to me and be like, oh, I think I know what your problem is. 6/8 can be tricky. I like to think of 6/8 as like two things of three. And in my brain, I was like, it's literally not because it's in 6/8. It's because I just like the piano part sounds different, but I didn't want to say that. So I was like, oh, it sounds good. So the music director is next to me conducting me, being like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as I'm trying to sing through the song. And then he starts singing it with me to try and like help me find the part.
Not the training wheels.
It was so humiliating.
Oh, no.
And we make it, and finally we get through the whole cut because he's singing it with me. But obviously, like, I'm shaken. I'm trying to listen to what he's singing. So I'm not singing it full voice. I'm not acting it at all. I'm just like listening. And then we make it through it. And I feel like, okay, I've done it once with the piano. Now I actually feel confident in it. And I could like actually do it. But we finish and he goes, I'm so sorry. I have heard you do this 4 times now. You need to sing something from your book instead.
So oh, that's so tough.
I had to pull a song out of my book. I had nothing right for the show. So I just like picked the closest thing and did that. But I was so embarrassed and humiliated that I don't think I really acted the song at all. And also I was like, they're not going to cast me. I now come across as someone who does not understand music at all, that like put zero work in preparing for this audition, which is so frustrating because I literally rehearsed every day for a week. Yeah. It's just like, something about the piano accompaniment being different than the karaoke track really threw me through a loop. Oh, it was genuinely humiliating. And that's the last audition I've had. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was brutal.
That is it really brutal.
Hey. And hey.
That's tough. But hey.
I danced
more,
it well
more
enough.
More stories for the memoir, I guess.
I guess. My gosh. We're going to take a question intermission because we don't want people falling too in love with us. And we're going to read a listener email.
Let's hear a message from Rebecca, shall we?
Yes. Rebecca says, hello, Lena and Ian. I'm currently listening to your latest episode where you're talking about which Les Mis characters are or aren't divas. You saying Eponine isn't a diva because she's yearning over a man who doesn't think twice about her literally fixed something in me. Not to get into my love life, but hearing Ian say that it's the, quote, least diva thing you could possibly do, unquote, switched something in my brain. So thank you, guys. I will be going back to listen to that part anytime I feel myself yearning over the same goddamn man. Love you guys. Rebecca, she, they, from the UK.
International listener!
Rebecca, you emailing me using my own words switched something in my brain. Because
mine as
I
well.
I was, at the time of receiving this email, yearning over said man who I asked out and he wouldn't give me a straight answer. And then I read this email and was like, I'm acting like fucking Eponine Thénardier right now. I gotta nip that in the bud. Enough is enough.
We especially cannot be dying for men who couldn't give a shit about us either.
Yes, yes.
It's not a way to live.
No.
It is not a way to live. Ugh. Let's be divas.
And that's the tragedy of life. It is like, we're not saying that loving another person, putting another person before yourself is anti-diva behavior.
No,
it's
to
not.
Love another person is to see the
face,
of, face God.
Of God. But
and you know who said that? Who wrote the book?
Fun. Oh, Victor Hugo, the diva.
Victor Hugo, a diva.
Victor Hugo. I thought you were talking about in the show and I was like, I can't
Fontaine
remember if it's Fontaine
it.
Or Jean Valjean.
I can't
Fontaine.
Either.
Anyways, but to just be so hung up over someone who doesn't care about you, and I'm speaking to myself, is anti-diva behavior. Be hung up over someone who's hung up over you back.
Yeah. Yearn for someone who is like, wants,
who yearns for
is
you.
Like yearning back. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I literally think about like past breakups I've been through and I'm like, why don't they love me? And I'm like, move on. Mm-hmm. They don't. Mm-hmm. Go love someone else. Go love yourself, please. Oh my God. Like so much wasted time over nothing. And not nothing. Like the love you give is never wasted. That is a good thing to love someone. But let's be divas. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. Oh my God. Because I'm talking to myself too. Oh my God. Yum. It's really about our boys.
All right, Lena, give me a number.
The number is 11.
Okay. Question 11. This one has a time constraint.
Oh, do you want to pick a different one?
It's just like, 13. I'll tell you it. It's take 4 minutes and tell your partner your life story in as much detail as possible. I feel like we already know each other. We're skipping that one. That's like, if we didn't know, I could tell you your life story. You could tell me
mine. Oh, seriously. Oh my God.
Number 13. If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
I'm generally a pretty staunch, if I can know if I'm going to die or when I'm going to die, I say I don't want to know.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah. So my initial reaction is I don't want to know anything. But if I could know anything even as vague as, I would just want to know, and I would want to ask what, even if it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, what path do I take? What do I do to bring myself the most joy that I can?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I feel like life is so crazy. I don't know. And sometimes I just need like a little direction. I don't need to know if I'm like gonna be successful or be, I don't know, married or, you know, anything like that. I just want to know like, what path do I take to be the most like fulfilled version of myself? And if that version of myself is, you know, successful or yada, 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 that's slay. But also if the most fulfilled version of myself is like pushing papers all day and reading books, that's awesome. I think, and even if that becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy where like I have some direction I know, and I know that like, well, I'm doing this, I'm gonna be fine. I'm gonna be fulfilled. That would be awesome. But I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
Mine's similar to yours. I would ask, where should I be focusing my energy? Yeah. I just feel like there's so many so many time periods of my life that I look back on and I think, oh, I wish I had put more focus into that thing. Where there's time periods of my life where I'm like, I wish I had focused more on just like enjoying where I was at. But then there's other times that I'm like, oh, I wish I had really focused on this thing that could have furthered my life a lot more if I had done it. And I feel like I just expand so much energy. Is that the right use of that word? Invest so much energy, I guess, in things that ultimately don't bring forth any fruit. And it's like, okay, so what was the point of that?
Yeah.
So I just want to know, where should I be investing my energy?
That's what
is the
one.
Most important thing for me right now? Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Thank you.
I feel like sometimes I'm also like, what the fuck was that for? Mm-hmm. I really wasted so much time and stress over, in my mind, nothing. Although, I don't know.
Yeah,
you live. You learn.
Exactly. I think it's not like a zero sum game. I think that something comes from everything. But I do think that if I knew where to invest my energy, although the sum will never be zero, the sum could be greater. So I would like to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Mm, that's a good one. You pick a number.
Oh my gosh. 22. That's my golden birthday. 22. Alternate sharing something. I misread what this question was. Alternate sharing something you consider a positive characteristic of your partner. Share a total of 5 items. So I say 5 positive things about you. You say 5 positive things about me, but we take turns.
Ah, Okay, cool.
Ugh, roll my eyes. I thought the reason I went, ugh, is because I thought it was going to say alternate sharing something you consider a positive characteristic and something you consider a negative characteristic. And I was like, we're not going to do this on air. What?
No, we're supposed to fall in love.
We're supposed to fall in love.
I'll go first.
Okay.
You are like such an attentive friend. Like, ever since I've known you, and even when we were like less friends than we are now, you like are always so good at like asking questions. You're so good at like having a conversation with people. You're so good at like remembering things and like harkening back to things that other people have said. And I've like, you are such an, like a thoughtful person and an attentive friend. And that inspires me and just makes me so excited to talk with you and be your friend.
Oh my gosh.
And fall in love.
Okay, I'm going to fall in love. Thank you. That was so nice. Yeah,
it's true.
Holy cow. You care very deeply about other people's comfort and about other people like feeling safe and feeling seen, which I really respect. Even just like you've always been a person that I could talk. I'm like, once again, it's just we have a group of people eavesdropping on us. So I'm like, how personal do I want to get with this? But you've always been a person that I could come to and like talk about my life and my experiences and what I'm going through. And your goal in that moment is to make me feel seen and make me feel safe. And that is the goal over any, like, you know, correcting me or, you know, maybe like debating on something or like whatever. Like you just you care so deeply about the individual and having them feel seen and supported and like, you know, being there for them. And I think that is very admirable. I don't know if that was worded in the way I wanted it to be, but.
That's very nice. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I really appreciate you saying that. I love that. And that's all I've ever wanted. So slay.
Hey.
Thank you. I admire so much how you care so much about literally everything. Seriously, even in school, like we'd be at a dance call and you like care so much about like doing your very best. You care about like every class I've ever been in with you. You care about everything that we do so much. You care about your career and your aspirations so much. You care about your friends so much. And I just think that like in moments, sometimes I feel myself like getting like apathetic towards like things I want to accomplish. And I've never, you know, of course I don't know like the inside of your brain, but you inspire me to care more about, especially like shit going on and like TV shows we watch and movies. You love movies so much. You care so much and you want to like, you care so much about the art that's being made and the shows that you see. Like it is like infectious to be around. It makes me want to work harder in the things that I do. And, like that's the spice of life is caring about shit. And I love that about you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're being too nice in that I get like so overcome by what you're saying and that I have to collect myself. I love how deeply you feel things and it is something I'm deeply envious of myself. I, one, love how deeply you feel things, and then two, that it is something you own about yourself, that it is part of the Lena Knatzer package, a integral part that you are proud of, and I think you should be proud of it. I just think, you know, life is to be experienced, and so many people, myself included, numb themselves to try and get through, but then when you numb yourself to make things easier, then all of the joy and beauty also gets numbed along with it. Mm-hmm. And I just love the way that you can so easily emotionally respond to like anything that we are talking about. Like, whether it be something real world and extremely high stakes, or whether it's just like a story we are talking about, it, you connect to it emotionally so well. And I think there's such beauty in that. And I think it also is one of the reasons you are such an empathetic, and, you know, you're always caring about how other people are feeling, because you just have a beautiful depth of emotion in you.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Life is to be experienced. It's tough out here. I love playing games with you so much. I come from a family where we're a bunch of cheaters in the sense of we want everyone to win. So we're like happy to like pass things back and forth. And you take games so damn seriously, and it's a blast. I love especially playing games with you and your siblings, like seeing that dynamic in like you and Aaron and Alex and Sammy and like all of you together. Like, that's such a singular energy, and like getting to see that side of you is so fun. And like getting to play games with you, which I know you love games so much, and I also love games so much, but I love games in a different way. It is fun and it makes me laugh. And like some of my very favorite memories are like sitting on the floor of like your apartment, like eating Domino's pizza and like playing like Anomia or something. Like, I just, it's like some of my favorite memories ever. And I just think that seeing that side of you is so fun, and seeing something that you are also like excited and passionate about is like, it makes me want to fall in love with you. No, but it's just so awesome. And it makes me like smile, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you're welcome. You're welcome.
You have such an awareness and a care about what is going on in the world that I really respect. You know, like, you love to read, and you will read books that make you happy and books that, you know, entertain you. But then you will also be sure to read books that are broadening your perspective or teaching you about different things, like different policies or different groups of people. And you are constantly like, this harkens back to discussions that we've had, but you are constantly like spreading information, like using your social media to spread information and try and kind of be a voice for the voiceless. You just, I don't know, we are two white people. In America, we live like we're in pretty privileged positions in our lives.
Yeah.
And it is very easy to, because you are privileged, to just like not pay close attention. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you are a person who is paying close attention.
I really appreciate you saying that. I appreciate that, because I do think that that is something that's really important to me. And I'm glad that you see that. You know what I love so much about you?
What?
I love, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I love how annoying you are.
No, that actually, if you had said I wasn't annoying, I would have said you're a fucking liar. This is actually exactly what you needed to say.
But here's the thing, is annoying. You do not annoy me. You're annoying. But I say this to say, in the conversations that we've had recently about that, mm-hmm. there is a strength and a steadfastness to, and a dedication to being exactly who you are. And I have like walked through this world like wanting to like dampen down the things that make me. And you like saying that, it makes me feel like I should be more myself. I should be like more, I should be the loud person that I am. I should be the, you know, sing when I want to. Seeing like in every facet of your life, you are not afraid to take up space, and that inspires people around you, genuinely. It makes me want to be more myself. I love hearing you from across the courtyard. I love seeing you be yourself, and it, genuinely, I love how annoying you are. It makes me so grateful to know you and to know also quiet parts of you and see the facets of you. And anyone who is lucky enough to spend time with your ass should recognize that that is a gift. And I love that about you.
That was like one of the kindest things anyone's ever said to me.
Well, girl, I mean it. I mean it.
Oh my gosh. Lena Page Knatzer, something I love about y'all. Sorry, I don't know how to be sincere. I was never taught. I will take that back.
I was raised to be charming, not sincere.
I was raised to be charming, not sincere. Something I love about you is, how do I phrase this? An awareness of... I know the example I want to give, but I don't know like the words I want to say. You have like an awareness of what brings you happiness, like what feeds your soul in like a day-to-day routine, and then you have a commitment to feeling that happiness. I feel like I sometimes really miss the forest for the trees, where I am like, I have this thing that I really want to achieve, and when I achieve that thing, I will be happy. Mm-hmm. And then I look at my journey to try and achieve said thing, and it's like, so I was unhappy the entire time because I was just so focused on this thing. And you like have goals and you have passions and you have things that you are achieving, but along the journey, you also know, like, I love to read, so I'm going to like sit down and be and read every day. And also, like, you have such a passion for the media that means so much to you. Like, you are so passionate about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You are so passionate about Star Wars up until The Rise of Skywalker.
And I'm glad you said it. Fuck you, J.J. Abrams.
You're so passionate about, you know, you went through, not really anymore, but you were very passionate about Big Brother. Just, you know... that while life is, you know that life is a journey, I guess is what I'm trying to say, and that every step of that journey can be happy and can have joy, and we just need to find the little day-to-day things that bring that happiness and joy into our lives. And I really respect that. Like, I just have no chill and can't just take a day to enjoy my day, and I feel like you have that ability. I admire it a lot.
Thank you. I feel like it's taken some real effort on my part to feel that way. So I'm glad that that's coming across. And I do feel that way. Like looking at a tree overwhelms me, and I'm grateful that I can do that.
I remember you saying one time that you were like, I'm learning about myself that I can have a day where I read a book, spend some time with friends, and watch a really good show, and that is an excellent day. And I think so many people, this is like what the plot of Our Town is. So many people are like, an excellent day is I, you know, go to a huge party and everyone stands up and claps and I get an award. And then you reach the end of your life and you're like, I missed all of my excellent days because I gave them such a rigid definition. And you are a person who has expanded that definition where you are having, you like have given yourself the ability to have more excellent days than anyone else is having.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Last one. I remember when we started talking about doing this podcast, I like couldn't even imagine like that it would actually happen. It just felt like a fun thing that we had chatted about. And then I remember the day that you like, you probably Marco Polo'd me and you're like, okay, actually like get ready, go buy a microphone. We're doing it. We're doing it. You are like so incredibly determined and smart and capable, and getting to do this podcast with you and get to know you in a new way is like beyond my wildest dreams. I think sometimes I like really cannot see beyond like a fun idea, and I like can't let myself like think, but like, what if it actually happened? I'm just like a what if, like maybe it'll be fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I let myself like kind of be cool with things not working out. And you are the backbone of what's going on here. You are the driving force. And you are not only that, you are like the perfect person to deal this with. And I am so entirely grateful. And we couldn't be here without you, because you are the dad of the podcast. You literally were like, go buy a microphone. It's happening. And if it would have been up to me, it would have been just like a fun idea. But you are the person who has the drive and the ambition and the sense of you make shit happen for yourself. And that is something that I can learn from and we all can learn from. And I respect that so much about you. And we wouldn't be here without you. And I am so grateful for you. And I'm so grateful to be your friend. And you are so determined and ambitious, and I wish I was more like that. Oh my God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm going to do a shout out because this is not top five, but I just think you're very funny, and I want to shout that out because I'd be remiss if I didn't say that you were very, I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like there's more profound things that I want to say, so I'm not giving it a number five slot. But also, like, you're one of the funniest people I know, and people aren't talking about that enough. So I am.
Honestly, I appreciate you saying it. I genuinely really do. Because honestly, recently I've been like, I wish I was funny.
No, you so, are, thank you, babe. For saying it. No, you
shut
are.
Shut up. Oh my you God. Are. Were so, you in love with me or something?
I am in love with you. My actual number five. My actual number five is, I mean, it like borrows pieces that I've already said. But I feel like because you are such an empathetic person, because I think you have such a like loving and accepting heart, you are able to hold a lot of truths at the same time. And this is true for people. Like, I've heard you talk about people in your life and acknowledge ways that they have wronged you, and in the same breath acknowledge like, we also had all of these positive experiences, and like I have all of these positive memories from that person, and both of those things are true in this one relationship. I also think it's true of media that we watch, that sometimes we'll watch something and I'll be like, so this is a pile of shit. And then you are able to like see the beauty and the artistry in it. You just approach everything, I feel like, in very good faith. You approach people and things from a mentality of, this thing is good and I'm going to kind of like find out why it is good. And it doesn't mean that you're blind to the bad stuff. Like I said, in that same breath, you also acknowledged how the person had wronged you. Like, you aren't like being ignorant to things, but you just are able to hold multiple truths and say, this thing does not negate this other thing. They can both exist at the same time. Does that make sense?
Thank you. One thing. Yes. thank you. I appreciate that.
I just feel like when I hear you talk about art and media, but especially people, you always have a very honest and complex view of the people in your life. That you really like love them for all sides of them, and you don't have some made up portrait of like, this person is a bad person or this person is a good person. You're like, this person is a person with value whom I love, and they are all of these things.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Oh my God. I think we're in love.
I think we're in love. I feel like that was
really sweet.
Oh, you're welcome. Yours are really sweet as well.
Thank you.
I feel like that was a very good question. Should we do one more to finish it off?
Yeah.
And but before we do one more, should we do one more
email? One more email?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Shout out.
Let's do it. Let's hear an email from Drew, shall we?
Longtime listeners will remember Drew is the one who emailed us asking us to do a competing show choir competition with each other.
Hell yeah.
Dear Lena and Ian, first off, let me give you a greatly overdue thank you for taking my idea of a Glee competition draft and really running with it. You both did fantastic and took it to a place I couldn't even fathom. I mean, drafting Katie Couric? Wild. I did vote for Lena to win. Though I thought Ian's set list was more in the theme, Lena put together a set list that flowed better for me. I could see myself sitting in the I could see myself sitting in the audience, watching the whole performance, and being at the edge of my seat the whole time. This leads me to why I felt compelled to write in today. I feel like I might be in the minority when it comes to national setlist rankings. I would rank City of Angels as the top, then Nationals and New York at the bottom. Again, I like to put myself in the audience and judge the whole setlist together and not as separate numbers. How each song flows into the next is very important to me, and the whole story of City of Angels edges out Nationals. When I go to YouTube watch Glee performances, I always search for clips of the setlist as a whole rather than individual performances. Some are easier to find than others, and there is a reason behind that. As far as iconic numbers, Nationals does come out on top, but I always felt that the set list was flawed. Each number felt separate and disconnected. Even the vocal adrenaline numbers felt more connected. It's All Coming Back to Me Now is also cut very oddly, in my opinion. The spot where they decide to end the song doesn't sit well with me. Rachel is giving not only one of the best vocals, but also the best performances in the series, just to almost abruptly stop. Then the audience started clapping too, when we all know that the original song does not end there. We needed a couple more lines or something. Then for her to give a mini bow at the end, knowing full well it's not the end of the set list. Girl, there's a whole other number to perform. Save it, you need to soak up the accolades. This could also just be a need for more because I prefer the MP3 over the MP4. That being said, my rankings of all competition set lists are, from best to worst, Journey to Regionals, Hold On to 16, City of Angels, Nationals, On My Way, Sectionals, Special Education, New York, We Built This Glee Club, Original Song, All or Nothing, Thanksgiving. On some parting notes. Y'all Are Sleeping On Here's to Us should have been a graduation song, such a joyous and celebratory song. And y'all need to stop the Marley hate. Her songs are good. All or Nothing is great. Just listen to the MP3. The show didn't give the full song justice. So sad the Glee Wines are coming to an end. You have a forever fan in me, however you decide to proceed afterwards. Thank you again for all you do. Drew, New York over We Built This Glee Club. That is crazy to me. I love Take Me to Church.
Yeah. I can respect it, though.
I absolutely see what you're saying. Respect it. And Light Up the World's a banger. Especially, and Light Up the World's a banger.
Yeah. And especially in terms of like setlist flow, I'm definitely seeing what you're saying, Drew.
Yeah. I do 100% agree. City of Angels has a clear vision to it. And I mean, of course, we're told what the vision is. It's the Finn Hudson songs. But because of that, there is a cohesion in those songs that makes a lot of sense. Whereas Nationals, you know, they're one-third vintage. And I love Nationals. But there is not really a running theme. There's no, like, unifying strand between those three songs. So I get what you're saying. I also think this is why we're doing Don't Stop at Regionals is the best set list, because talk about cohesion.
Yeah.
That's all one artist.
It's just Journey.
Doesn't get more cohesive than that.
No. Cohesive is the name of the game with that one. And you know what? I should give the MP3 a listen for the Marley songs. I'll give it a listen. I promise. We'll see how I feel. But I can respect it. I'll give it a listen.
All right, Lena, what's our final question to fall in love with each other? We have to fall in love. We have one question left.
Okay.
We actually don't. We have probably like 20 questions left. But We're only doing one more.
Well, have you seen any that are particularly fun?
No, I haven't been looking. I've only looked at the ones we've said.
Okay, should we go to like number 9?
Oh, early on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whoa,
I'm just making numbers.
Crazy. This is a big one. For what in your life do you feel most grateful?
Nothing. No, I'm just kidding. That's so crazy. For most grateful?
Yeah.
Wow. I feel grateful to be alive. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for
Diva. I love you. I love you so much. And I appreciate this, but it is most grateful you could only name one thing.
Fuck!
We cannot be given a whole laundry list.
But I am. I don't know. Most grateful? That's crazy. Hey. What are you most grateful for? Me?
You. I think I am most grateful for my relationship with my family, specifically my siblings.
Yeah.
People talk about it all the time. Me and my siblings are like weirdly close for siblings. We all just like think that the other ones are pretty cool and we're all pretty good friends. And there is an understanding with most families that it's like blood is thicker than water, you know. Mm-hmm. Your family, even when you're like fighting for a lot of people, like your family members will still put up to help you out and all that stuff. And so I have just been very blessed to have family members that kind of socially, societally, I guess is what I'm trying to say, have to put up with me and have to be there for me, who also I genuinely get along with and we like enjoy spending time with each other. So I kind of have a 2-for-1 in a fail safe of someone who has to look out for me, who also just like we enjoy our time together.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'll pick one. And it maybe sounds a little more trivial than yours. I am so grateful for books.
Heck yeah.
I feel like even when like nothing is going right, and nothing makes sense, and I can't like see a way through the shit that I'm feeling, I can open a book and either escape for a minute or more often see myself and see a way through and see love and happiness and see like excitement. And genuinely, I all the time I'm like, God, I'm so grateful to live because there are so many books to read and there's so many movies to watch. And if that's the thing that keeps me smiling, fuck to the yeah. And I'm so grateful. I love books. I don't care.
Heck yeah. Put me in prison. Arrest me.
Put me in prison. If reading books is illegal, and God knows. God fucking knows. Put me in jail.
Hey.
Oh my God. It drives me crazy. Stop banning books.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll leave.
That's what we'll leave.
That's my parting words.
That's our parting words. I hope you all fall in love with us. I hope you all fall in love with each other. Tune in next week as we talk about our favorite episodes, the pilot, Laryngitis, Duets, and The Hurt Locker Part 2. If you have thoughts, if you want to tell us what your favorite episodes are and
please
why.
Please tell us what your favorite episodes are.
Send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com. If you would like to have a say in what our final Glee Wind is, this is actually like literally the last chance that you could. Join our Patreon at patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Become a best friend of the podcast. That will be decided by Saturday
on the Patreon as well. So if you want to be a part of that, let us know. Go to patreon.com.
Send us a snail mail us and say, I'd like to be a patron.
Oh my God. I would love to receive your snail mail. First of all, that would be slay. But you got to decide by Saturday. So,
yeah. All right.
All right. Love you all. Thanks for being here. Hope you had fun. This was fun for me. I hope you guys had fun.
Booyah, booyah. Have a
I guess
week.
In love now. I don't
we
know.
Are in
kind
love
of fun.
Now.
Here is a kiss on your forehead if you're in love with us or if you're not, if you just want it. But also, What if we're in love?
In love with us. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.